clip camera that you brought today, you may want to get it out because this could be a YouTube sermon, because I ate like an 8-year-old yesterday all night long. And so I was up last night, so I'm a little worried about today. So if you see me run off the stage, get out those things. Get out your flip phones, because it's going to be a pretty good service. You know, has life ever worked out the way you thought it would be? When I was a kid, we used to go over for Christmas to my grandmother's house. And my grandmother used to have this whole table of a snow globe village. Now, everything was set perfectly in place. All the grandkids would go down there. I was the only grandkid that wasn't allowed to touch anything. So that told you a little bit about me. So I instinctively thought that it was a waste that the snow globe village would just sit there silent. That I must make sure that every snow globe, please put the camera away, I was joking, that every snow globe would be doing snow. And so I would go and nobody would look, and I would take the snow globes and I would shake each one of them, and I would imagine what was going on in that little world of the snow globe when I was 5 or 6 years old. Till one Christmas, I went to my grandmother's and I was doing it. I was shaking. I was never supposed to touch them. And I accidentally made a mistake and two of them fell off the table and broke. So you know my grandmother. Somebody over here knows her because he said, ooh, yeah. So I was devastated. Not only was my grandmother going to kill me, I also just destroyed two worlds of people in the snow globe that I thought. And so I was all sad about those people in the snow globe that are now somehow breathing air, not water. I don't know how it worked. But anyway. But it was funny as I think back on it and I think about the Christmas story. And I think about the traditional things we learn about in the Christmas story, but I also thought about how this is much like our life, the Christmas story. And in my life, for example, a lot of times it's pretty ornate, pretty boring, pretty vanilla. I go along, I do my stuff, and things don't change much. And there are times in my life where it feels like things get shooken up, and it's a little bit hectic, and I'm not sure what's going on. And there's a lot of times in my life where it feels like it's fallen off and shattered. And in the story today that I want to look about, in the Christmas story, the one angle I look at today is, for everybody involved, it was a story that messed up their life. Every single person in this story had a plan, had a what their life would be like, and so do we. And it was funny, as I was looking at the Christmas story, I started to realize that the Christmas story we read is our story. A lot of times we focus on that it was a story about a long time ago, and we forget the fact that the Christmas story is innately our story of people, ordinary people, who show others who Jesus is. And when Jesus came into this world for the first time, he messed up everybody's plans. King Herod had a plan just to go along until he heard about something, and he ends up slaughtering people. You have these shepherds who want to go on their ordinary life of taking care of sheep, playing golf, whatever they do in the field. And then all of a sudden, everything's changed in an instant with the heavenly host. Then you got these teenagers, Mary and Joseph, who are engaged, who are going on. And all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, the angel Gabriel tells Mary, guess what? You're going to get pregnant. You're going to be a virgin. And the baby that's coming is going to be God himself, radically changed. And it's funny, though, when I look at the story and I study the story, it's our story. There are a lot of times in our lives that God comes and interrupts our life to change it so that Jesus can be seen to people. And we forget that at Christmas time. We come here and we love to hear the little story of Mary and Joseph in the inn. But the universal truth is, it's our story too, and we forget it. Because most of us in here, life hasn't turned out the way we thought it would be a long time ago. A long time ago, you thought it may be one way or another way, and God's somehow stepped in and shook things up. I remember when I was not a Christian, as a freshman at University of Kentucky, and I was a radiological health and science major. And that lasted for 2 weeks when I went into chemistry. 2 weeks. I remember my first test, I got an 8 out of 25 and realized, and that was a B, and I realized that that wasn't what my life was about. And so I thought my life would be about business. And so I go to do that, and luckily, by the grace of God, a fraternity brother stepped into my life and showed me about who Jesus was. My Christmas story was in a drunken party upstairs by a guy sitting me down away from everybody telling me about Jesus and seeing him for the first time. And so in this story, God shakes things up. Now, we know that God is not the author of evil. When someone gets cancer or there's abuse or people get killed, that God is not the author of that. In fact, that's why Jesus clearly says, when you pray, pray for God's will to be done. Because a lot of times his will's not done. And by me, it's not done. And when we get into that pattern of the world, there are times where God has to step in and he has to come into our life and he has to shake things up. Because God is not content with us where we're at. More concerned about the effectiveness of our life than the comfortableness of our life. And even in the story back then. So in your outline, if you get your outlines out, I'm going to do 3 points about the story that involve us. Now, the sermon's a little bit short, so don't tell Jason, all right? Or tell Jason if you want his sermons to be shorter. But anyway, so now don't tell him I said that because I'll get in trouble. Whoa, no, don't. This is on tape. Don't applaud. All right, this is actually on the website. I can't, no evidence. Please strike that out. All right, thank you. All right, there are 3 things that God wants to do in our lives when he comes in and he shakes things up. The first thing he's trying to do on your outline is God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to get our attention. In Mary and Joseph, I love it because I think if I was back then and had an angel come to me and say, this is what you're supposed to do, it would have been a lot easier for me to do it. It would have been a lot clearer for me to do it and a lot simpler for me to do it. But we live in a world that when God comes to shake us up, we don't always clearly see that sign. We don't clearly see what's going on. And the one reason is we don't have an angel to come talk to us because we already have the Word of God. But we live in a world that I call has spiritual ADD. And let me tell you about that. How many of us spend as much time in this as we do on our cell phones or Facebooking or talking to someone else? We live in a world that gives us so many different messages that God has to literally step in and shake us up to say, listen, I need to get your attention because what you are planning to do or what you are doing is not what I have in mind for you. But we start listening to everything else, especially guys. If we have a problem, we problem solve it by writing everything out, trying to solve it and solve it. Let's be honest in here. How many of us have come to a problem in our life and we've tried to rationally think it through? We've done everything we can. We get to the end of our rope. We cry out to God. God shows himself faithful. And then the next time something comes up, we forget that. We forget that God stepped in and showed himself. So we have worry and fear once again. And God, just like this Christmas story, for us to bring Jesus to the people around us, he has to literally shake us up. I remember talking to several people, and one guy saying, you know, Jim, this is what I want to do. I went to school. I've been trying to get in this job industry, and I can't get in. Another people saying, I'm trying to do this plan, but nothing's not working. Well, sometimes it's not working because that's not the plan. The plan is what God wants for our life. And so in your Christmas story, at some point in your life, if he hasn't done it already, and he does it thousands of times to us, I'm convinced, that he comes in to shake our life up so that he gets our attention. There's a Psalm 81 that says this. I think it's verse 6 in there. It's one of my favorite Psalms. It says, God says, I wish my people would listen to me. And he says it because he knows that his way is the way, his plan is the plan that will radically change the world around us. Do you understand that God is not concerned about our happiness, but our holiness? You know, God's not necessarily concerned that we have it comfortable. And so he has to shake it up. That's why I'm convinced Jesus was so clear when he said, if you follow me, it is a very narrow way to go. It is a very dangerous way to go. It's a rocky way to go, but it's filled with joy, and few find this way. It's a big difference between us coming in here and sitting and learning about Jesus. It's a very big difference from that and following Jesus. Because Jesus tells a story, I think he's just thinking about this when he says it. He said, there was a guy who started building something and he didn't count the cost and he could not finish it. And I think in our lives, God is saying, you don't understand, to follow me is to listen to me. And to listen to me is to be 100% all the way in. It's not what you think most of the time, and then I come in and add something. It's me or you, and that's it. That's why I love being a children's minister, because everything to me is so simple. It's either Jesus 100% or you 100%. It doesn't work any other way. And so when God wants to bring Jesus to life to somebody around you, a lot of times he has to alter your plan in life. And for some of us, that's super scary. But why does he do it? Why does he come in and shake it up? Because he wants to spare us pain, is a great way. Because when we follow his plan, there's nothing more content. But he also is concerned about himself being glorified in your life. Your life and my life is not about us. And Mary and Joseph had to learn that a very hard way, because Mary had to hear people talk about her when she said, hey, you know what? I'm going to be pregnant. I'm not going to be married. Joseph, you know, how do you think he felt when Mary came up to him and said, you know, I'm pregnant and it's God's fault? You know, he didn't take it very lightly, because it said he went to put her away privately. So anytime God comes into our life, there's going to be an element of uneasiness, because it takes us out of comfort. It takes us out of normal. It takes us out of complacent. You know, I would love to live a life where I go home and I watch SportsCenter, and I do that some, so I'm not perfect. But just go on and on and on, and everything be simple, make a great job, marry, all that. But that's not how it works. And if it is sometimes, it's not necessarily the plan. Because if you look in the Bible, every time God chooses to use us, and he wants to use every single one that's in here, there is an element of uneasiness and a step of faith that's involved. For those of us who became Christians, it took a step of faith to go there. Then he takes us a step further. And so you got to stop sometimes, get away from the noise, get away from the Facebook, get away from the chatter, and sit and say, God, what do you want? I love this proverb. It says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Our way or God's way. And in the Christmas story, they had to choose God's way. And in our story, we have to, because only God knows the future. We don't. If you honestly stop and surrender every decision to God and think about how that would, what that life would look like, then you, when you go God's way, you're going to experience satisfaction, meaning, and purpose. But anytime we choose our way or our thought over God's, tell me how many of you have done this. Don't raise your hand, because somebody actually raised their hand last time. All right, just in your head, raise your hand. In your way, you know, it can bring misery. How many of us have that? Guilt, resentment, broken relationships, anger, depression, and worry. Anytime I feel that in my life, something has become more important than God. Some choice I've made has been my choice over God. Now, sometimes things happen to us and God takes us out of that. But when it's my decision, I have the chance to choose God, because it's his way or my way. And in the Christmas story, once he wakes up and gets your attention, once he's shaken up your life, once things have been kind of uncomfortable, he goes, now do you listen to me? Then guess what? We're getting ready to rock and roll. Can I say that? Sorry, I saw a couple elders. We're getting ready to have a great time, fun. We're getting ready to go on a great adventure. And that brings me to point two. God has a better plan. If I chose what I wanted for my life, I would have a meter right now and I'd be going around testing radiation. Not that we don't need people doing that who are Christians, but that wasn't for me. Could you imagine me if I was around radiation? I'm already crazy. So, but I have been going and testing and trying to make the big bucks and somehow have a third arm or whatever. I don't know. But that wasn't the plan. And if I had said no to God when he first said, come out and follow me. And I said, yes. Then he said, come now and show people who I am. If I said no, I would have missed out on the privilege of myself of seeing hundreds and thousands of kids come to Christ to 15 years. And a lot of us, we get to a point that we think we know what's going on, and God says, stop. And the moment that happens, there is fear because Satan loves to come in and blur the plan. But many of you have probably sat out here before, and Jason's speaking, or I've spoken, or David, or Philip, or whoever it is. And they said something, and in that moment, you knew something had to change. But the fear and the cares of the world took that moment away. And there's got to be a point where we stop and realize that he has a better plan. I love this verse. We've heard it 1,000 times, but I want to look at it a little differently. It's in Jeremiah 29. It says this, I know what I am planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. And in my version right there, I always circle hope and good. Because I've got to realize in my head that God's plan, the better plan, is not a plan for us to be hurt, but a plan of hope and good. And some people are scared to death to go the whole plan that God has for them. Some people are radically afraid of what it means to take a step when you can't see what's coming in front of you. But let me tell you something. If you hear one thing, hear this. That God will always ask the plan to stretch you, and there will always be an element of something you can't see. It will never be a systematic plan out. And in the Christmas story, Mary and Joseph had it radically altered and had something that had to be in front of them that they couldn't see. And that's still today. So in his plan for your life, there will be an element. The cool part about it is, if you miss out on the first time he presents it, he will always keep presenting it to you. He will keep going over and over. And if you don't grab a hold of that plan, this world misses out. This world misses out on Jesus being glorified in your life if you don't find the plan. If we just come and we sit, and if, like myself, if I'm always thinking about my own needs and how I want it, let's do this little shout out loud. It's okay to shout this out loud. I want you to fill in the blank. Let's see how easy it is. Fill in the blank when I get to it. Look out for number. What's in it for? Man, you guys know it way too well. So, no, but how often is everything filtered through us? And for a story of God to radically change this world, our self has to be taken out of it. And so the plan's got to be better. Here's three things about the plan I put in the outline that I love, that I want you to hear. Number one, God's plan for your life is always bigger than your plan. His plan is not for us to be comfortable. His plan for is us to be effective. And for that to happen, he will give us a plan that is far beyond what we want. Because if we're going to be honest, let's be super honest. We love the most comfortable way. We love the most comfortable life. We love the path of least resistance. We love non-conflict. We love, you know, where it's just familiar. And when God comes in and says, guess what? You might be in that six-figure job, but I'm getting ready to change it up on you because I want you now to go to this. And we start going, whoa, hold on. It's funny because I said in the first service, you know, that this plan, the bigger plan, brings contentment. And I asked all the guys in the first service, I said, what if we were all to lose our job today? How many of us would be so petrified when we went home? Because our identity is wrapped up in how much we make or what we do. And then I said, you know, when you follow the bigger plan, it doesn't matter any of the external variables. That's why I love when Paul said, you know what? I've had a lot of money and I've had nothing. And I've learned the one thing, that I am content with just Christ. And for you to understand the bigger plan, we have to be content. For the Christmas story to come out in our life, we have to be content and realize that the plan is bigger, that the plan can involve moving, that the plan can involve uncomfortableness. Because everybody in that story that we read about, it was that for them, and it's that way for us. The second thing is God's plan for your life is harder than your plan. Like, whoa. Yeah. God wants the best for you. And a lot of times his plan is harder than our plan. And he wants us to know that up front. That's why I think it's so crystal clear. And I get so frustrated in the church sometimes that it's so simple. It's either Jesus all the way or me. that I said earlier. Jesus was looking at some guy. He said, let me go bury my dad. He goes, you let the buried dead bury the dead. You follow me. And he goes on to talk about our family. He said, nobody's worthy following me who cannot give up their mother, father, brother. And the reason he's saying this is because he wanted us to understand that the lifestyle and the plan is going to be a hard plan, but a rewarding plan. And that's why on the third point, God's plan for your life is more rewarding. It's more rewarding. You know, for Mary to say, okay, I will walk around and let people talk about me because I'm pregnant and not married and have to trust when the world goes around me. Or she's saying, I'm going to ride on a donkey or I'm going to give birth in this horrible place. Do you understand that when we're radically sold out for Jesus Christ, because I don't want you to think something different, that the world will think we are strange. But the world will see Jesus. And Jesus said this, and I'm convinced of this in this church. They said, if I am lifted up, I draw all people to myself. And for the Christmas story to happen to your life, for it to be rewarding, the thing you have to do, what they did, is to lift Christ up in your life. And people will be drawn to it. I used to wonder what Jesus meant when he said, the world will hate you because of me. And I always thought, whoa, that's a little radical because I want to get along with people and be and love on them, and I can do that. But what he's trying to say is this, that if it's not all about him, then the world has come into this some. And if it's all about him, it doesn't make sense to the world. And because it doesn't make sense, it scares them. And because it scares them, it creates emotions. And Jesus said, in your Christmas story, you lift me up and people will see the love and be drawn to it. But understand that you're not part of this world. That you're not part of the normal story. You're part of the God story in the life that I want for you. I love it in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 9. He says, no one has seen, heard, or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love him. If you follow God, there's significance and satisfaction. I tell this story all the time to my kids as a children's minister. I told them about the toy I wanted when I was a kid. And I got that toy, and I was so excited with it, but then I was bored, so I got the next toy. And I was so excited with it, and then I got bored, and I got the next toy. And then I got bored with it, so then I graduated college. Then I got bored with that, so I got a great job. Then I got bored with that, so I got a great house. Got bored with that, got a great car. And the thing keeps going on and on. You got to understand this, that nothing God has made can ever fill your heart. That includes us. Nothing God has made can ever fill your heart. It at best can fill your life. And so for us to understand our Christmas story, we've got to understand that the only thing that fits in our whole life is God in our whole heart. That's what we got to understand. And when you start to understand it, it starts to open the doors to things. See, I feel so sad sometimes because people put people first in their life. And so when something happens, there's a devastation. Now, we're always going to be sad. Or if people lose a job, or if people lose their house. Or people do a lot of things, and they have to learn a hard lesson of the Christmas story that it's about Jesus in their life, not about anything else. It's not about being born in a comfortable place for Mary. She went to the stable, to the cave. And it's not about being comfortable for us. But in that, I love this point three, that God wants us to trust him. Because in that story, when Joseph could have put her away, the angel came and said, no, she's telling you the truth. Go through with this. And in our life, we've got to be able to say, it's okay, God, wherever you ask me to go, I'll follow. How many of us would feel scared right now if I said, honestly, let's ask that question open to God, whatever you want for me, I'll do it. For some of us, there's a fear in that. And that fear should be an indicator of something deeper that we need. A greater need in Jesus Christ in our life. I tell the kids all the time about this, that I love Michael Jordan. Not actually love him. I liked him. Liked how he played. And I could tell you everything about Michael Jordan. What his stats were, how he played, who his kids were, everything about him. But it doesn't mean I know Michael Jordan. You can hear everything there is to know about Jesus Christ, his teachings, what he did, but it doesn't mean you know him. And for your life to be radically changed, it has to come into your heart being first place to know him. Because Jesus says one day, people will come to me in heaven. And people will say, God, I did these great, awesome things. Man, we were driving out demons in your name and we were doing all this. And he's going to say, away from me. I never knew you. So the concern for me is not necessarily about the change in the planet times, but that we understand what's the center of it. That's God. And for some of us in here today, this could be a time where we've just come and that we now understand it has to be God. Because it's so hard in this life, the things that we go through. And the Bible says that trust is the only way to do this. I love this in Hebrews 11. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So for this plan to work in your life for the Christmas story, there is going to be a time where you're going to have to step and not see where it's going. The plan he has for you is going to involve faith to not understand, to step out. You know, for some of us, the plan's going to call for great sacrifice. What if God spoke to you and said, I want you to give 20%? Of your salary? What if God said, I want you to take your spare time and go downtown? What if God said, there's these crazy creatures called middle schoolers, and so I want you to step out and help teach them? What if God said, change this job because it's taken away from your family and show Jesus to your family? What will we do? It's impossible to please God without faith. And when God messes up a plan, it's a test. I'm going to put it real simple for you this morning to walk out. It's you or God. That's it. That's the simplicity of it. God will always be pursuing us, even when I mess up, because every day I don't make those great choices. So that's why I love this scripture. We know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans. This could be a hard Christmas for some. My dad passed away a couple years ago, so Christmas has never been quite right, especially since they live in Kentucky. So it's been different. For some of you, maybe your parents have divorced. For some of you, maybe someone's moved away. For some of us, maybe we've gone through a breakup that hurts really bad. For some of us, maybe someone's died. And we got to understand what to do when life doesn't make sense. It's the same in the Christmas story, and it's the same now. When life doesn't make sense, we drop everything and focus on God. Focus on Jesus Christ, nothing else. Not on the pain, not on the hurt, not on the comfort, but just Jesus. I love this verse. I want to wrap up with this verse today. It says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. If there's something in your life that's keeping this story from living out, then we need to stop and seek after him and understand that you and you and you and you and you, that every single person in this place has a story to raise Jesus in their life so people will see it. So my prayer specifically walking out of here and my challenge to you is to notice the world around you and notice the people who don't know Christ and be open for God to use you in a way that it shows people Jesus. When I come in here and I see empty seats, and this is a Christmas weekend, it just all the time, I tell you, all the time reminds me of the people that aren't here to know God. So I want to pray. It's a very short sermon, so please don't say anything to Jason. All right. But I want us to pray, and I want us to be challenged today that this is our story and that we need to walk out of here different, understanding that God has a plan for us and that God wants to use that plan, and God's plan makes that rewarding, and that we'll follow after that. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you. Father, I thank you that you chased after us. And Father, I thank you that you came after us in the form of a baby named Jesus, so that you would grow up and die for us so that we could be with you forever. And Father, right now I pray specifically in the name of Jesus Christ that you place people around us that need to know you. Father, that we become the Christmas story to someone. That we show where Jesus is. And that they see Jesus Christ in our life. And Father, that they embrace Jesus. And Father, for those of us who you're stirring our hearts with a different plan, Father, I pray that you keep us quiet and still to listen. Father, that we're obedient to that plan. Father, that we will follow after you no matter what, to where and to what end. Father, that we're a church that radically pursues people with the love of God. So Father, right now I pray that you unleash your plan in the people today. That you unleash your plan for the church. That Jacksonville's not the same because this place is here. So Father, we give it all to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray this.